This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
This edition of the BBC Music Magazine podcast is sponsored by Adagio, the leading streaming service for classical music. Enrich your life through Adagio's expertly curated playlists, exclusive recordings, and original content. Give yourself the gift of classical music. Visit adagio.com/music-podcast and enjoy 2 months for free.
The BBC Music Magazine.
So welcome to the BBC Music Magazine podcast. I'm Oliver Condy, the magazine's editor, and with me in the studio today are reviews editor Michael Beek and editorial assistant Freya Parr.
Hello. Hello.
So before we get started, the July issue is out now. It's the special proms issue. And better still, if you fancy subscribing, we've got a discount for all our podcast listeners. All of you can now get 30% off every 6 issues, which takes the cost to just £25.15. And you can claim the offer by visiting buysubscriptions.com/musicpodcast. So we'll be taking a behind-the-scenes tour of the magazine shortly. But before we do, let's find out what's been happening in the news.
Music. So the BBC New Generation Artist Scheme has now reached its 20th year, and 7 artists have been announced across all different instruments. There's even a jazz guitarist, and they're from all across the world. There's a quartet as well. And one of the new generation artists we're actually going to hear from now, it's Eric Liu, who won the Leeds International Piano Competition last year, and his debut disc is out recently on Warner Classics. So we'll listen to a track from him now. That was the American pianist Eric Liu playing Chopin's Second Piano Sonata, and that was a finale.
I heard him play that actually at St George's in Bristol.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he came along. He flew over from America specifically for that concert. And I think the following day he flew back again.
He did.
I think it was part of his prize.
Wasn't it, the concert? Yeah, it was a really fascinating sort of performance, wasn't it? Very mature.
What did he play? Did he play the things that he won?
Yeah, so it's pretty much the selection he played from the Leeds final and on the subsequent disc that came out on Warner's as well. It was, yeah.
It's a really fantastic scheme, actually. They seem to get stars that are sort of in the making, and they seem to spot rising stars as well. So they've got people who are already on the scene and then people that we've not heard of. So and there's so many broadcast opportunities for them as well. You know, it's a great opportunity for them to broadcast on Radio 3 and do recordings. And, of course, many of them appear on our cover disc throughout the year. So so you should hear one or two of them appearing in the next sort of 24 months or so. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan of the Radio 3 New Generation artists, actually.
Yeah, I think over the prom season, they always have kind of extra New Generation artist slots throughout Radio 3. It's kind of all the time. So you'll definitely be hearing more from them. And actually, the people that they've got, their alumni, as it were, they've got amazing people. I was just looking into it, and it's the pianist Igor Levitt, percussionist Colin Curry, and violinist Janine Jansen, among a whole host of others. So they clearly go on to do amazing things.
Definitely. Yes, of course, Paul Lewis, who went on to, who was obviously a great concert pianist, but with Adam Gatehouse, who used to run the New Generation Artist Scheme, set up the new sort of version of the Leeds Piano Competition. So it all goes full circle, really.
Yeah.
Now Eric Lou has won it, and he's on the Generation sort of scheme, so that's all rather good. So it's time for some other news, actually. It's been a fairly quiet month, actually, although some good news from Oxford. So Christchurch has got a permanent girls' choir. That seems to be something that is really sort of really taking... it doesn't seem to be a surprise now when people actually have a girls' choir. It's not big news anymore. It's just something that naturally happens.
Yes, you'd expect to happen, isn't it? And the Natalie titled Fried Voices of Christchurch, Oxford.
Yes.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, good for them, absolutely.
Absolutely. And Nicholas Collin is moving on to the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra. Well, I think he's going to keep the Aurora Orchestra, but he's going to become the chief conductor. And that's a big step for him, because the Aurora Orchestra is very much a big star in the UK, and it is sort of, its tentacles are reaching out abroad. But I think this is a real fantastic international opportunity, and actually taking over from Hannu Lintu is something of a hero, actually. So,
Hannu's moving on to the Finnish National Opera and Ballet chief conductor, so... Yeah, all change again for lots of different people.
And of course, it's the proms. The proms are going to be, well, have been announced, and they're going to be starting middle of July. So book your tickets. And this month, we really go to town, give you the full listings, give you our recommendations, interviews with people who are appearing in various concerts. But we're going to start with our choices. So, Michael, what have you chosen? What's the concert you think everyone should try and book their tickets for?
There's so much choice this year, as usual. But I've plumped for the CBSO, who are performing on the 22nd of August. They're doing... It's a real fantastic mix of great artists and great repertoire. So obviously we've got their great conductor, Mirga Grzesznica Tyler, Shaker Kanemason on cello. They're performing Elgar's Cello Concerto. But for Weinberg's centenary, they're doing his third symphony, which doesn't get performed often. It's fantastic work, really, really colourful. They're also playing Dorothy Howell's Lanier, which is another piece that these days you don't hear very much, but has been at the proms a lot over the years since it was first premiered there in 1919. So it's just a really, really nice mix of pieces and great stars as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that last one of the Henry Wood novelties?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the big pushes this year for Henry Wood's anniversary. I'm not sure which one.
What is it, 150th?
I think it's 150th.
Yes. Yeah. So they're re-performing a lot of the works that he had premiered at the proms originally, because he was a big advocate for new music.
He was, and he was an absolute star. I mean, there were so many works that were performed for the first time in Britain that he really pushed, like Debussy's Prelude de l'Après-midi d'une Faune, and there was the world premiere of Vaughan Williams' Serenade to Music, and Mahler's Eighth Symphony got the UK premiere. You know, he really brought those works into currency, actually, and a real sort of musical hero, actually. Mm. So, Freya, what have you chosen?
So something a little bit different. I have gone for the Prom 70. It's a late night prom curated by Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead fame. And I love the late night proms. They're always something I look out for because they're diverse and they have a real mix of stuff. And this one is actually really interesting. It's got, a premiere by Johnny Greenwood and some Penderecki as well, because the two often are combined. I think they work well together, and they've recorded together as well.
They're best buddies, aren't they?
Yes, good chums. So that's being combined with the Bieber solo violin sonata, which opens the whole evening, and then before delving into the kind of more recent stuff. I just think that'll be a really beautiful opening to then some probably quite out there music, which is...
All of those proms can lie on your back in the arena. And
definitely. Yeah, and he's curated the whole sort of prom, hasn't he?
Yeah, for the first time. So
it's going to be good.
He's becoming quite the common figure of the classical music world nowadays.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. I also love Penderecki's music. I was lucky enough to go to a festival of his not too long ago, and actually being totally immersed in his music, you realise how versatile a composer he was. You sort of hear, obviously, the threnody for the Victims of Hiroshima, and then you realise how separate that is from the rest of his
output. There's so much more.
Such a varied... exciting composer. I've gone for a real sort of German feast, as it were, the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra with conductor Maris Janssens. I mean, I love the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra. Everything they do seems to turn to gold, I have to say. And their wonderful recordings on BR Classic sort of gets you really into the heart of it. So they're coming to the proms. They haven't been to the proms for a long, long, long time. And they're coming and they're playing the suite from Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier, and with Lisa Batiashvili, they're performing Prokofiev's Violin Concerto No. 2. So it's a real sort of, early 20th century, late 19th century bash, I have to say. So I'm thoroughly excited. And it's two proms as well, proms 15 and 17, so 30th and 31st of July. So I'll be obviously staying over, that's for sure.
Camping out.
Absolutely. So before we move on to the recording of the month, I wanted to mention our website, classical-music.com, and you can read all about the latest musical goings on, read thousands of reviews. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we have an iPad edition, so we're kept busy. So, Michael, recording of the month.
Yes.
What is it?
This month, it's a disc we've been sort of awaiting with bated breath, because we've known about it for a while. This is Rachel Podger's Bach Cello Suites on violin, of course, because Rachel Podger is a violinist. And she hasn't disappointed. It's absolutely brilliant. Sort of the naturally due to the size of the instrument compared to the cello, it's a much sort of lighter, brighter, sort of breezier sound. And the reviewer, Julian Haylock, sort of based as a new clarity, like opening a window on a work that you sort of know, but now it sort of has a sort of slightly different sound.
Well, many of the suites are in different keys.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So should we hear the prelude?
Yeah, let's have a piece. This is from Prelude, from Suite No. 1. It's a very familiar piece, but this is how it sounds on the violin. Rachel Podger.
Well, I was going to say I was expecting to hate this when I first got it in, because I'm a bit of a Bach purist and I absolutely fell head over heels in love with it.
Yeah,
it really does seem like a new repertoire for the violin at the same time as bringing new life to these cello suites, and it really does seem to make you listen sort of afresh to all the phrasing. The tempos are obviously more sprightly than you would get on the cello. Yeah. There's less sort of indulgence, and there isn't room for the indulgence. And she doesn't give it anyway, because she's not that kind of player.
Definitely not.
It's magical.
It really sings.
It really does. And
it's
she plays it.
Piece.
It's a really open-hearted performance, and she obviously loves the pieces that she's playing, and that comes across in the recording. So yeah, great recording of the month. So congratulations to her. Yeah,
and that's on Channel Classics.
It's Channel Classics. Absolutely.
A terrific recorded sound.
Yeah.
I have to say, always is on Channel Classics.
Always do a fine job.
Very, very lovely. Freya, let's move on to the moon. Because the proms are celebrating the moon. Well, the moon landings, aren't they? Because, of course, it's 50th anniversary of the man first.
Man on the moon.
So
yes.
What are we doing in our magazine?
So we've taken a deep dive into the moon and how it's been used in music. And because obviously the proms, yes, they're celebrating with a number of different concerts. They've got the CBeebies Clangers prom, obviously, for the kids. And then they've also got a sci-fi film music prom, so kind of spacey stuff. And then Public Service Broadcasting are doing their concept album, Race for Space. And they've got a whole new bunch of commissions kind of on the theme. And this month's magazine, we have Simon Hayes, who takes a look at how the moon's been used in various ways. So there's kind of, it's the various guises of it in mythologized, as seen as kind of like a companion for man, as the calm serenity, and then also the symbol for madness, obviously, with lunacy, and then often as kind of the calm before the storm. So it's such a kind of, it's been so readily used, but in so many different ways. It's
I'm quite surprised how much stuff there is.
So much. Yeah. I know.
And you know, and that's not even mentioning Louis Vian's Clair de Lune, a big organ piece.
Yeah.
Which isn't mentioned. No. Goodness me.
I started making a playlist to go alongside this piece and I was like, there's too much. We have to cut down. Yeah.
There is a lot of stuff. And actually the moon has a bigger pool, if you'll excuse the pun, than actually
very good.
Thank you. Than you would realise. You know, obviously Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, which was named after, obviously, he wrote it. But you know, then Debussy's Clair de Lune, obviously, and it's
very versatile.
So this is where we basically share with you our latest musical discoveries. We'd also like you to get involved and let us know what musical discovery you've come across. And you can email your choice of the latest recordings or even great concerts that you've been to. Email us at music@classical-music.com. And you may well be published on our Music to My Ears page. Very exciting. And every single Monday, we put together a new list of exciting new releases in our playlist. It's called The Playlist, and it's on Apple Music. Anyway, let's get started. And I'm going to kick off with a wonderful recording I've discovered on Supraphon of Janáček's piano works. He didn't write a huge amount of piano music, but what he did write was exceptionally personal. I've chosen the Andantino from In the Mists, a very short piano suite. Written at a time of extreme pain around 1912, Janáček had just lost his daughter to illness, and he was also suffering huge personal doubts. His operas were being basically rejected by Czech opera. And he was basically going through a bit of a sort of a personal trauma. And this is just him really going back inside himself. You know, real sort of inflections of Moravian folk song, which he travelled throughout Czechoslovakia, sort of collecting all this folk song, bundled it all together. And this is just such a beautiful sort of romantic stroke folk song inflected masterpiece, I think.
Lovely.
Unnecessary virtuosity. It's just a real sort of bearing soul, really personal.
Unexpected.
Music. Yeah, and Jan Bartos is a wonderful pianist because there's a real tender character to his playing. It's not over the top, and the recording quality is superb. It's just, I just loved it.
Great, I'll listen to the album. Great.
Yeah. Michael.
So I've been listening to Amy Dixon's most recent album on Sony Classical. It's called In Circles. Now, I think saxophones are things that you either love or hate, particularly in classical saxophone. But before Jessica Lim, there was Amy Dixon. She's still doing great stuff. And this is a really, really beautiful album. It sort of takes its lead from folk tunes and Australian music as well. She performs, and there's didgeridoo on the disc as well, which actually sounds beautiful because it can. And she performs with the Adelaide Symphony Orchestra. The track I've chosen is Andalus by Emil Pessar, and it's featuring Daniel Deborah on piano. That was Andalus performed by Amy Dixon, accompanied by Daniel Deborah. And I think hopefully you'll agree that it's an absolutely beautiful sound she makes on the sax. It's woody, earthy, a lot like a sort of clarinet sound. Yeah, it sort of doesn't feel like a saxophone, which for me actually is a bit of a bonus sometimes.
It's sort of effortless, isn't it?
Really? It is, yeah.
Sense. When you get a lot of the recording, you can hear the keys and you can hear the sort of the mechanical bits, you know, the breath and everything. So it's actually not too much or too little sort of honing in on the atmosphere of the actual instrument. Yeah. It's gorgeous. Mm. Freya.
So I've got a little bit of piano as well. So this is the debut disc from Martin James Bartlett, who obviously won the 2014 BBC Young Musician of the Year. So he's taken a little while in releasing this debut, but actually it's really unexpected. And because I the first time I saw him perform was at the Proms, I think the year after he'd won or just after he'd won. And he played Rhapsody in Blue and was just the most gregarious performer. It was so like wonderfully over the top and fabulous. But this is actually a really stripped back album. So there's Bach, Liszt, Schumann, Granados, Wagner and Prokofiev. So it's a real mix. And it's all played with kind of real simplicity and rawness, and it's gorgeous. So we're going to listen to Schumann's Widmung, Opus 25, number 1, arranged by Liszt.
Such a lovely guy. He's so entertaining, actually, and it's really nice to see him on disc at last.
Yeah.
Because it's been a long time since he won that young musician competition. It was 5 years now.
Yeah.
And also the love and death from one so young as well. So much maturity in the playing.
Yeah.
And he's a real star in the making, I have to say. I mean, there's a great signing from Warner Classics there.
Yeah,
it really is.
The whole album. I kind of listened to it on a beautiful sunny evening outside with a big beer, and it was just like the most serene evening to listen to that, because it was just, it's all so well voiced and careful and just sublime. Yeah. I loved it.
Not too showy, is it?
It's just
mature sounding.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that was Martin James Bartlett's Love and Death on Warner Classics.
So Martin James Bartlett brings us to the end of the July issue podcast. Just remains for me to say, go and buy all tickets and you'll see us all there from the 19th of July, no doubt camped out on the streets of Kensington. So do join us next time when we'll be discussing what's in the August issue, How Time Flies. Anyway, it's goodbye from me and goodbye for the rest of us.
Bye.
The BBC Music Magazine Podcast.